Sri Vishnu Sahasranama 867, Sarva Saha. Sarva is a well-known word, meaning every, multiple. Saha can have various meanings. A common word in Indian languages, even today, sahana, toleration. It can also, there are various meanings. It can mean to bear in the sense of support, to bear in the sense of tolerating, to be capable of, to be able to do something. Then can also mean strength or power, as in, or courage, as in sahas. Various meanings. Parashara-bhata takes the meaning of who supports. Shankara takes the meaning to be capable of, to be powerful, to conquer, and to support. And Sri Krishna Datta Bharadvaj uses the meaning one who tolerates. And Shankara also uses the meaning strength for sahas in one of his interpretations, and Baladev Vidyabhushan in this particular series of names is giving a completely different perspective altogether. So let's have a look. Parashara-bhata takes this to mean he who is the support of all the, what we can say, other gods. Now that term, other gods, you may say, well, there's only one God. Yeah, so Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, yepi anya devata bhakta yajante shradhayanvita tepi mam eva kaunte yajantya vidhi purvakam. Krishna says, those who worship other gods, who are the devotees of other gods, he used the word anya devata bhakta, they worship them with faith. Actually, that is meant for me because I'm really the only one God, but it's misdirected. Mayaiva vihitan hitan. It's meant for me, but it's misdirected. So Krishna is the support of the other gods, and that's why they're worshipped by people who don't have full realization. Gods are gods for as long as they're gods. It means the Indra of today can be an ant tomorrow. And there's a narration in one of the Puranas about a whole army of ants, thousands and thousands of ants invading the huge palace of Indra that was under construction. And Vishnu, in the form of a Brahmana, told Indra that these ants, they were all Indras previously. So who is Indra now? Who is big demigods? The roles are there, all of them. They're in that position. They're not independently powerful. They're supported and they're worshipped. Actually, worship is meant for Krishna. But other gods are worshipped by people of less intelligence. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita very clearly, alpamedasa, people of less intelligence worship. But still, even though Krishna, from one perspective, he points out that worshipping demigods is not proper, it's foolish. On the other hand, he supports that system because it helps people to have some footing on the Vedic path by which they can eventually come to him. Now, if we combine this understanding of Sarvasaha, Sarvasaha, he supports all the demigods. If we combine this meaning with Sarvasaha to mean Sarvasahana, he tolerates everything. So he supports all those devotees who worship different gods, even though they're worshipping these different gods asking for petty favors. Still, he tolerates and even encourages them in one sense. He tolerates that. He doesn't just blast them and throw them away. Satya, in Bhagavad Gita also. Sataya shataya yoktastasya radharamihate labhate chatatakaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. Krishna says that they have faith in the God, and I'll come to that verse, that I make their faith in the demigod strong. And he has such a faith, the worshipper has such a faith. He worships a particular demigod and attains his desires. But, Krishna says, the benefits are bestowed by me. So it's a kind of illusion that Krishna tolerates and supports, which is, might seem very strange, but the point is that Krishna tolerates it because it's better that they're in illusion at that level than in illusion at a lower level of being, for instance, totally atheistic, of not following the Vedic injunctions at all, of attempting to fulfill their desires in grossly sinful and harmful ways. So it's a bit of a conundrum that on one side, Krishna says the demigod worship is very foolish. The other side, he tolerates it and also seems to encourage it. The reason is that it's better that people worship demigods than just try to fulfill their desires in a completely sinful way, or outside the Vedic culture, or they're just completely atheistic. At least if they worship the demigods, they have faith in the Vedic literature, or the Vedic directions, which and that can ultimately lead them to worship Krishna. It's not the best path, but on one level, something is better than nothing. And of course, ultimately, Krishna says, Sarva dhamman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. When we've been through demigod worship and so many other things, we have to surrender only to Krishna. So Krishna tolerates, not only demigod worship, but so many other things. That is his great mercy. Shankaracharya gives several interpretations. One is that Sarva Sahas, with all strength and courage, he conquers all his enemies. That's been discussed as the main theme in several names, and in soon upcoming the name Dushkritiha, he who kills the rascals. So I won't discuss it more here now. Another meaning that Shankara gives, that he's capable, competent in everything, Sarva, everything that he does. And again, this will be discussed as the main meaning of the name Daksha, which means expert, which is also just upcoming. And then another meaning that Shankara gives is that he who supports everything, just like the earth supports everything upon the earth and everything within the vicinity of the earth, in the air, the stratosphere above the earth. And that's also being discussed in names just like Dhata, the support. So without discussing the implications of these explanations that Shankaracharya gives, I'll go on. Just to note that Satyadeva Vashishta also explains this name to mean he who supports, and he gives a more general understanding, he supports and protects everything, including the sky, the earth, everything that's movable and non-movable. Well, he elaborates on what it means by sarva, everything. He supports everything. Another meaning is given by Krishna, Datta Bharadvaj, taking saha here to mean sahana, toleration, or forgiveness. He forgives the offenses of everyone. This is similar to the name Kshama, which we had recently, which one of the meanings can mean who has the quality of Kshama, which means forgiveness, tolerance. In the name Suparna also, which we had just recently, the bird, he's the bird with beautiful wings in the heart, accompanying all living beings, tolerating all their nonsense, just watching them and waiting. So you see many of the names are interlinked. So Sarva Sahana, Sarva Saha, tolerates everything. And again, just like the earth is very tolerant, specifically Krishna Datta Bharadvaj says that he is Sarva Saha because he forgives the offenses of his devotees. And a common example is given that the mother doesn't consider it an offense that her child, you see sometimes the baby is moving his hands around and punches the mother in the face. She may hurt the breast of the mother when his teeth are coming in. It's specifically stated in the Bhagavatam that when Mother Yashoda was feeding Krishna with her breast milk, she saw Krishna's teeth just coming in. The child passes stool on the mother and disturbs and day and night crying kandu. But the mother is tolerant. She doesn't think of it as an offense because she has so much love for her child. This forgiveness of the offenses of his devotees is a major point in the Tengalai branch of the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya. It's that the Lord is so merciful, he will tolerate everything. And they go as far as to say that he even takes pleasure in seeing the misbehavior of his devotees because he wants to deliver them despite their misbehavior. It's a dangerous philosophy. Fortunately, it hasn't been misused as it could be. There's even a word for that in English. It's called antinomianism. It means the idea that because you are a believer in God and God will save you, whatever you do, you just have to have faith in Jesus and he will deliver you, whatever you do. Those who take this idea to the extreme, they can lose all moral behavior because they think, well, whatever I do, Jesus is going to deliver me. So that's called antinomianism, the idea that you have some divine right to act in a wrong way. In Gaudiya understanding, at least we can say that our Srila Prabhupada, he didn't promote this, that you can just do any damn thing you like and say, I'm a devotee, and get away with it. There is the offense against the holy name, that nam no balad yasya hi papu buddhir. What's the next line? Navidyate tasya yamarhi shuddhihi. That to sin on the strength of the holy name, thinking that, well, I'll just chant and then I can do whatever I like and I'll chant and all the sins will go away. It's a fact that by chanting, all sins will go away. But if you deliberately sin thinking that this sins will go away by chanting, if you take that as an opportunity to sin, then you're so contaminated that mentality is so bad that one cannot be purified, even by the punishments of Yamaraj. So it's a fact that the Lord tolerates the offenses of his devotees, and the example is given like that of a mother tolerating the child, but the child is supposed to grow up also, and when the child does grow up a bit, the same thing that the mother tolerated, she has to train him and be strict with him so that he doesn't just act completely egotistically as a baby does. an example given how the Lord forgives rather than seek revenge. What's an example? We could give the example that even if Ravana were to, he was told by so many of his friends and relatives and counselors that if you just submit yourself to Ram, he'll forgive everything. Of course, Ravana didn't. But the example is there that Sita Devi in the Ashok Grove, when Hanuman came, he said, look, I'm going to kill all these Rakshasis who are tormenting you day and night. But she said to him, no, you don't punish them, because na kaschit na aparadhyati. There is no one who doesn't make some offense at some time. She's so liberal. So she restrained Hanuman. No, you let them be. Don't punish them. Then Baladev Vidyabhushan, giving a different perspective altogether. Well, toleration, yes. He takes up the theme of toleration. But he tolerates saha, sarva. He's sarva, he takes to mean all here, all the insulting words of Rukmi. Because Rukmi was, when he was chasing Krishna, who was driving away with Rukmini, and Rukmi from behind was insulting Krishna, and Krishna just tolerated. And of course, we can extend this also, especially to Shishupal. Krishna tolerated 100 times, Shishupal, insulting Krishna. He must have done actually many more than 100 times, but within Krishna's hearing, taking Krishna in his loka lila, in his worldly pastimes, to be like an ordinary person. And so many, Duryodhana insulted, so many demons insulted Krishna, but Krishna didn't kill Duryodhana. He tolerated, because he was leaving Duryodhana for Bhima, because Bhima had vowed to kill him. Particularly Rukmi is mentioned. You may say, why Rukmi? Rukmi is, he's not such a big character compared to Duryodhana or Shishupal. The point is that Baladev Vidyabhushan is commenting on these series of names in relation to Krishna's winning his various queens. And right now, the discussion on, in this particular series of names, the discussion is going on about Krishna winning Rukmini, and literally winning, because it was a kshatriya battle was required. Now, you may say, Krishna, he tolerates not only words, he's so merciful. And in this regard, we can recite Uddhava's astonishment, expressing astonishment at how merciful and tolerant is Krishna, a well-known verse. Aho Bhakti Yang Stanas. Aho Bhakti Yang Stana Kala Kutam. Jighangsaya ya paya yad apyasad vi. Libhe gatim datruchitam tatonyam. Kang vadayolam sharanang vrajema. Oho, aho. Oh, how wonderful. How shall I take shelter of one more merciful than him? In other words, who is more merciful than he? Krishna, who granted the position of mother, just like a mother, to Putana, even though she was a sadvi. She's just the opposite of a saintly woman. She's very demoniac. And she had put on her breast deadly poison with the aim to kill Krishna. But Krishna did not just tolerate her, but he gave her a position, just like that of a mother. In this regard, I'll quote from a song of Srila Thakur Bhaktivinod, who begins the song, Shuno he Rashikajan, Krishna Guna Aganam. Listen, O you who are relishing the wonder of Krishna. Shuno he Rashikajan, Krishna's qualities are uncounted. So in this song, he says one of the qualities of Krishna, and again, we recently had the name Guna Brit. Krishna has so many qualities, uncounted, uncountable qualities, Bhaktivinoda says. So in that song, Bhaktivinoda says, Krishna Bahya Mukhajane, Premamrita Bitarone, Krame Loi Nija Antapur, Karma Bandha, Jnana Bandha, Abeshe Manav Andha Tar Krishna Karuna Sagar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, to the people who are inimical to Krishna, Krishna, by giving them the nectar of love of himself, he distributes it to them and gradually brings them into his very close circle, his close proximity. People in this world, Bhaktivinoda says, are blind, being tied up, bound by the karma and jnana, the aspirations for enjoying this material world and being liberated from it. But for such people, Bhaktivinoda says, Krishna is just like an ocean of mercy. Bhaktivinoda goes on to say, Pada Padma Madhudiya Andha Bhava Guchaya Charane Karen Anuchar. By giving them, these foolish people, rascal people, the honey, the sweetness of his lotus feet, he drives out, vanishes their blindness and makes them a servant at his lotus feet. Krishna is very merciful. So to say that he tolerates the offenses of non-devotees or even rascals, that's true, but there's a lot more to it. Satyadeva Vashishtha says that the idea of putting up with something, tolerating something, he gives the idea that just as the sea doesn't lose its nature, even though so many rivers flow into the sea, but this fresh water flows into the sea, tons and tons of water at every second flows into the sea, but the sea retains its nature of being salty, even though all kinds of other waters mingle with it. So Bhagawan, so many people say things about him, and people, they do so many things which, or they try to make out there's no God, or everyone is God, or they have so many ideas. God is dead. God is the creator of the world, but then he left it alone, and it's just going on deism. There are so many different ideas, but whatever they may say, he retains his own nature. He tolerates all of these nonsense ideas. In other words, he could just press the button and just explode the whole material world at any point. But he lets it run on. He lets these people say all these things. And he tries to deliver them. And Satyadeva Vashishtha says that it's a reflection of the quality of Bhagawan that he endures all these nasty things, and it's a reflection of that quality that the jiva can remain in a body with so many things going on, physically, mentally, we have to suffer so many things, and we can do so as a reflection of the Supreme Lord, who doesn't exactly suffer, but he tolerates all the things that we do which is not pleasing to him. The jiva has to tolerate and is able to tolerate going from body to body to body. Name 868, Nyanta, who controls, directs, governs, restrains. Parashrabhata gives the idea from the previous name relating to the worship of the Anyadevata, the other gods. In the previous name, he said that they who worship the other god, the demigods, they do so with the support of Bhagavan. They don't know that, they may not recognize that, but the individual choice, everyone has their freedom to choose, I'll go on this path or on that path, and then Bhagavan, he makes the faith strong so that they can do that, and he supports them in this. And this is the point, this quality of Vishnu that Parashrabhata brings out in this name, that Nyanta tatra tat tat ruchin prarochayan niyachati iti Nyanta. According to their taste, they make the choice according to their taste, and then he makes their faith strong and encourages them in doing that. And in this regard, Parashrabhata quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Yo, yo, yang, yang, tanung, bhakta, shradhaya, chitam, itchati, tasya, tasya, chalang, shradham, tam, eva, vidadham, yaham. I am in everyone's heart as the super soul. Srila Prabhupada, in his translation, adds this by way of explanation. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. V.V. Ramanujan, one commentator who generally quotes from the Divya Prabandham and especially often quotes from Namalvas, Tiruvai Moli, makes this same point in more detail, that every single individual living being, and this particularly pertains to those in human bodies, they choose in accordance with their nature, that they've acquired, their conditioned nature that they've acquired through so many births. They choose according to their nature and their particular level of intellect, because we're very, despite us being proud of our abilities, our intelligence and our understanding is minuscule, very, very small. But we choose our course in life or to worship a particular deity. We choose, okay, I'm going to worship this deity. It may be that one is born in a family where a particular deity is worshipped, that also we get born in that family due to our previous faith, our previous activities. But having gone on that path with the hope of securing certain results by doing so, the Supreme Lord, he makes the faith strong. One reason why he makes that faith strong, or how he makes faith strong, is that the deities, you pray to them and you get what you want, and then your faith becomes strong. Oh, I'm getting it from this deity. But actually, mayaiva vihitan hitan. It's me who's giving it. But he makes the faith strong in the people. Of course, it's not just you pray to some god and you get what you want. There's also if you deserve to get that. But the point that Namalva is making is that the Lord is in the heart of everyone. The worshipper and even the worship demigod, and he's the source of their power. So in this way, he is the Niyanta, the regulator and controller of all the different gods. That's the point to be appreciated here. Shankaracharya gives the understanding that Bhagavan, he is the regulator of everyone in all their functions. Sarvan sveshu sveshu krityeshu vyavastapayati iti Niyanta. And Sri Satyadeva Vasishtha, who often follows the interpretations of Shankara and he expands them more, he goes on to say that everything functions according to the way that he makes us function. In this regard, we can quote Chaitanya Charitamrita, which of course Satyadeva Vasishtha is not his line, but we can bring in the Gaudiya perspective, that Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsabhritya Jare Joiche Nache Tare Toiche Kare Nritya. There's only one controller, Niyanta, Ishvara. The idea of Ishvara, control. There's only one controller, and that is Krishna. And others dance according to the way he makes them dance. So this is the point that Satyadeva Vasishtha is making. Even the sun and the planets, what to speak of us tiny little beings. In this regard, we can quote from Brahma Sanhita, Yachchakshur esha savita sakala grahanam Raja samasta sura murti rashesha tejaha. Yas yagya brahmati sambrita kala chakra govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. This is one translation that Srila Prabhupada gives. Let me worship, Lord Brahma said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person and under whose order the sun, which is the king of all planets, is assuming immense power and heat. The sun represents the eye of the Lord and traverses its orbit in obedience to his order. Now, why is the sun so bright, so powerful, so hot? Why does the sun move in the way it moves? Because of Krishna, Niyanta. He directs the sun. And the sun is the king of all the planets, and it's true of all the planets. It's he, Krishna, Vishnu, Bhagavan, Narayana, Ishvara, Niyanta, who assigns roles, duties, responsibilities to everyone in this world. And accordingly, we act. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh erjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is in the heart of every living being and accompanies them as they wander from body to body to body. And each body is compared to a yantra. It's a machine. So what kind of machine we get, how it functions, that's all controlled by Krishna, Niyanta. How it functions, that means a human body functions in a certain way, standing on two legs. A dog's, for instance, among practically unlimited functions of the human body, it's distinguished from, for instance, dogs and cats, which stand on four legs, and distinguished from birds, which have wings and fly in the sky. So everyone has a particular kind of machine, and that is ordained by Niyanta, the Supreme Lord, that we get a particular kind of machine. Then we have to work according to that particular kind of machine. And within the particular body we have, just like I have a human body, you have a human body, but my body will be a little taller or a little shorter than yours. My intelligence will be a little greater or a little lesser than yours. In some respects, I may have intelligence for instance, for explaining things greater and lesser than yours, but You may have greater or lesser intelligence for practical matters, like some people, they're very practical intelligence. They can do changing tires and changing fuses and simple things like that. They can just do very easily, and other people get all mixed up in changing a fuse and then lose the screws and don't I know. So individually, yes, someone may have a very strong body, someone may have a very weak body, someone may have a very strong heart, but then is subject to headaches. And in so many ways, we are conditioned by our body, and he's the one who regulates in a general way all the different species and all the different planets, and in a particular way for each individual, according to our karmic reactions. That he is the controller is a repeated theme in Bhagavad Gita. For instance, we have the name Anushashitaram, or the word Kaving Puranam Anushashitaram. One should meditate upon that original intelligent person who is Anushashitaram, disciplines everything. The word Niyanta, in a slightly different grammatical form, comes up in Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 87, Chapter 30. The word comes up as Niyantri, which means regulator. That which supplies the ingredients for the generation of something is necessarily its controller, because a product never exists apart from its ingredient cause. You can look it up if you want to understand what all of that means. Another understanding, as we often see in this Vishnu Sahasranam, we have the name, and then some commentators put the prefix up before it, which changes the meaning to the opposite. And they do that, and it's quite acceptable, because unless the word is at the beginning of a line, it's usually coming, or it's often coming in a sandhi with another word, and so in that case, it's quite acceptable to take the word as the opposite. So here we have here, Aniyanta. That means one who has no one above him to direct him or control him or regulate him. So he's Niyanta, in which he's controlling the sun, the moon, the stars, the worms crawling around. He's controlling and regulating everything, but none of them can control him. Therefore, by being Niyanta, he's automatically also Aniyanta. By being the controller of everything means he's not controlled by anything else. And thus we have names such as Adrita, which we had recently, which gives the same meaning, that he's not controlled by anyone. Baladev Vidya Bhushan takes the meaning Niyanta, who controlled. Again, in relation to Rukmi, Rukmi gets a lot of attention because he had some dealings with Krishna. So Krishna controlled and regulated him. Rukmi, first of all, in the previous name, Sarvasaha, Baladev Vidya Bhushan interpreted it to mean that he tolerated the insulting words of Rukmi, but then at a certain point, tolerate, and then he regulated him by tying him up and giving him a punk haircut, a weird haircut, to insult him. He shaved his head, leaving some patches here and there. So in the same way, Krishna is very tolerant, but he's also the regulator. He's Sarvasaha. He's very tolerant, but remember, he's Niyanta also. So don't take it that we can just get away with whatever we like and do whatever we like. He's very tolerant, just like A parent may be very tolerant of the child, but there comes a point where, for the benefit of the child, the parent has to discipline the child. So these two names are worth considering together. They may seem to be opposite qualities, and in one sense they are, but then all opposites are reconcilable in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we can't say that, well, that's not possible, he can't do that, because he's anyanta. He's not under our regulation or our control or what we think he should be. He is as he is, and we offer our respectful obeisances to that Supreme Lord who has so kindly allowed us to meditate upon him as Sarvasaha and Anyanta and so many other names in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kipa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chunakang padayane patikrit vacha kaku shatametata humbravimi hei sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charane kurutanu ragaha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumokaro navayang vichara yamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.